The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Keeping our mind on our mission and our mission on our mind, he is Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Montgomery Area Food Bank. Michael, how you doing, brother? We got Easter coming up this weekend, and I know a lot of people will be listening to this on a podcast, so perhaps after Easter, if that's the point, we hope you had a wonderful holiday. But how you been, brother? Everything good?
Been fantastic. Always excited about this week, the week four leading up to Easter and what it means to people of the Christian faith. And I'm one of those people. And so very excited about this week and thinking about all that that means.
Yeah. And I was kind of going along the same thing when I reached out to you about some topics for the show. And by the way, we're never short of topics. I know you're holding on to about four or five of your own, and we'll get to those. But with Easter coming up, and certainly in all respect to that, we talk about the resurrection of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And I kind of thought to myself, you know, right now there's a lot of resurrecting of businesses in the business world. When we did this thing, I just read this morning that McDonald's sent out a massive memo, basically told everyone they're working from home. And these are the higher ups, not obviously the people in the restaurants, but they wanted them to stay home and work virtually from Monday through Thursday this week, which I don't know what. First of all, let's start there. When the big dogs out of McDonald's are telling all the higher ups not to come into work and not to do anything outside their regular workload right now and work Monday through Thursday virtually before they realize exactly what they need to do in order to, I guess, resurrect McDonald's or in fact, make it more profitable. What does that tell you as an employee?
Well, that tells me there's probably going to be a bloodbath at McDonald's.
I'm afraid you're right. Yeah.
And it's unfortunately for those people, it's probably no joking matter, because they're probably on pins and needles wanting to see, do they survive or not, or what's going to happen to them, or what industry do they transition to from here. And so certainly it's when businesses transition or look to create momentum in a different direction, sometimes it takes some drastic cutting back and kind of restarting. And so, I'm always mindful of the people that it affects, and sorry to always to know what very likely is coming.
Yeah, you know, and along with this resurrection idea, there are different ways. Obviously, if you're a major corporation like McDonald's, you're not going away. You're never going to shut your doors. You're just trying to figure out how things. And I think a lot of businesses, you're seeing this right now, you know, post COVID. You're seeing almost every major social media platform laying off people. You see Netflix laying off people. You see major department stores laying off people. And I don't know if that was because of an influx of hiring when we got back after COVID, and maybe the labor area of our employment was so different because there were so many jobs available, and now maybe we overextended ourselves. I'm not really sure how that goes. But when it comes along to that, I always think to myself, for some reason, I always think of Lee Iacocca and what he did for Chrysler. You get these, and a lot of people thought that maybe Elon Musk, and maybe he will for Twitter. When you see something that's kind of broken and you normally have to bring in a big guy at a high cost in order to restructure the business and resurrect it per se, but just talk about that aspect of it, how one person's vision can change an entire industry.
Well, I remember Lee Iacocca. Maybe a lot of our listeners don't. But Chrysler was about to go under, and it was three major car manufacturers that were American based back in the day: Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler, Dodge. And of course, Chrysler was about to go under. And I think Lee Iacocca ended up getting the government actually to almost do a bailout, and then came back with the K car, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And just reestablish their brand. And I will tell you why so often it's so hard to do that, because lots of times you can cut expenses, but then you get the, okay, what now? Because you can cut expenses, but people are like, okay, I get there's a downturn, or you're going to reset or whatever. They know there's pain in the resetting, but once you reset, where are you going from there, and what's going to excite both investors? What's going to excite, when you're talking about small businesses, have you sufficiently addressed what the problem was so that, you don't recreate it in a year or two? I can't help but think about Apple. Back in the day, Apple had penny stocks.
Yep.
And, it was just Apple stock was just trash. And I remember this was before the iPhone and all that came out, and the iPod, and that's all they had were the old iMacs and all that kind of stuff. And the company wasn't just worth anything. And then they brought Steve Jobs back, and he said, I want everything I can do, everything that I do in my life, I want it in the palm of my hand and that phone. And thus the iPhone came out, and then it becomes, the most valuable company. And that's exactly what a reset can do. People can come in and, you can trim down. Anybody can do that. What it takes is a vision to where do we go from here? Who do we need to do it? How do we structure that? How do we promote that? How do we market that? And a lot of people, I will tell you, there's companies that have brought people in to do restructuring on a small level and on a very large level. And guess what? It was a big swing and a miss. And so there's a lot of pressure on the person who comes in and says, I've been brought in to change the direction. I've been brought in to make this profitable again. It's not near as easy as people think.
Yeah, we're talking to Michael Coleman. He's the best CEO, of course, the Montgomery Area Food Bank, MAFB.org. If you'd like to help them out, we love their organization, everything they do, covering 35 counties here in the great state of Alabama. And of course, you're listening to the show not only on TKR, we have over 100,000 downloads on the TKR app through Apple or Android, but also on our podcast series and the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network. The show's available to be available forever, as a matter of fact. And we do new shows every single week. So it's Major League Baseball season. And you and I are just talking off air before we started. I went and saw the Reds this past Thursday. Theo Epstein, do you know who he is? He was.
I do.
Yeah, he was the man that came in to the Boston Red Sox and made them win a World Series, or helped them win a World Series for the first time in 90 something years or whatever it was. The guy is unstoppable. Wherever he goes, it's like gold. He if you can get Theo Epstein into your baseball program, you're going to have not only a winning baseball team, but also a very profitable one. What do, and this is a very loaded question, but that's why I ask you, the Zuckerbergs, the Bezos, the Steve Jobs, you just mentioned the Lee Iacocca's. Hell, I'll go back to Andrew Carnegie, who just revolutionized the way, not only we did business, but the way he thought through the business process, even Bill Gates. Is there something in particular between all these guys that they have in common that makes them so good at what they do?
Well, I will tell you what I think at least some of the important qualities are.
Yeah.
When you are a leader and you have a vision and you've thought through, well, guess what? You're gonna be surrounded by doubters, especially if this is revolutionary in your thinking. So think about what Jeff Bezos did with Amazon and the vision that he had. He has a very simple mission statement, which is to deliver the best quality at the quickest amount of time. I mean, it's a very simple, but he was envisioning what all he could do through the delivery system and the internet before anybody else could really think that through. So I'm sure every step of the way he had people that were telling him, that's not going to work, or I don't think that's going to work. Well, that's never been done before. So it's not just having the vision, but it's having the fortitude to be able to push through and risk. And I've talked about this a lot, is not being afraid to fail. Jeff Bezos, you can't be afraid to fail when you step out and do something brand new, because the risk of failure sometimes is high. And I will tell you with him in particular, what you see is not everything that he's done, or not everything these leaders have done have struck gold, if you will. There's been a lot of failures, but if you notice, they understand, they hit a wall, and then they pivot. Mm-hmm. And then they move forward and they pivot. They don't turn inward. and they don't let it slow down. They're like, well, okay, well, we learned from that. What did we learn? Okay, we're still going to accomplish what we want to accomplish, but we're not going to do it the way we thought initially. We're going to adjust. And I think you'll see that sometimes where CEOs, as they're growing a company, say, you know what? I'm going to buy this young upcoming company because it will help us in our marketing, or it'll help us in our streaming. And then you might do that. And then after a while, you're like, well, no, I'm going to shave off part of the company because so you're constantly adjusting. You're constantly adding, you're constantly taking away. You're constantly trying things. It's fast moving. It's making assessments. You know, I call it, you know, building the ship out in the middle of the ocean. Mm-hmm. People say, well, you build an airplane while you're up in the air. I mean, you don't just think it all through perfectly and then launch that ship. They're out there, and that's how they beat the competition. They're the first ones there, but they simply aren't afraid to fail. But I don't know these men, obviously, deep inside of their thoughts, but I will tell you, I've never seen somebody be able to resurrect either an idea or a direction without the ability to sit down and really have honest critique about who they are and about what has been the cause of the failure, even if it's been things that they've contributed to. And let me tell you what I see this show that it's where they save bars.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people watch it. Uh-huh. And of course, I get this. This is for TV. And so the guy comes in and they're always resistant to the change. And the guy yells at him and all that. And then they all hug it out at the end when the bars. But I think it's called Bar Rescue.
Yeah.
But the reality is, when you're in charge of something, you're already leading an organization the way you think the organization needs to be led. And when it fails, you're already doing it the best that you can. And that's why so often people don't go to leaders and say, you need to change the direction of the company, because most people can't do that. They're like, well, I'm already leading it the best I can. If I thought there was a better way, I would have gone that way. And so lots of times you just have to get rid of that person and bring in somebody. When they do, it's going to disrupt the whole shape, the whole narrative moving forward. You see that with Elon Musk and Twitter. I would tell you in terms of the technology world, I've read several articles on this lately. It talks about the tech industry is just coming to terms with what every other American worker has been dealing with since they've been alive, which is you got to come to work and you got to show value to the company. And all these perks they've been getting and having lunch and dinner and all that provided for them, and working from home and being able to up your salary, all these things because they were in such need of tech workers. Well, now they're all laid off and the demand for them is not what it was. And now they're finding themselves, hey, I actually have to go to work. I actually have to, you know, do what every other worker is doing. And I'm telling you, some are really, really struggling with that. And those are in their 20s and 30s. They were golden children for many, many years, and now they're really struggling. So when a company says, hey, this is normal company business, we go on for a while, and then we become stagnant. It's time to stop. It's time to reduce. It's time to refocus our vision and maybe move in a new direction with a new leader.
Yeah.
And people just – it's so disruptive. And look, it's just how business runs. There's just no way around it. It's not fun. It's not good. But people have to remember that these major companies, people's retirements are invested in stocks that are counting on these companies to perform. So you think, well, it's terrible for the workers. That's true. But for them to continue on, it's going to be terrible for all the retirees who have invested their retirement in that company that's no longer performing. So there's going to be pain. There's going to be victory with other people. It's no way around it. There's no pattern that goes forward that's just wildly successful, regardless of the economy, regardless of market circumstances. Every company has to add and trim away and go through these influx up and downs.
It's kind of funny. Michael Coleman with the Montgomery Area Food Bank. This is Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mission, your mind. We do it every single week here on TKR and also, of course, on our Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network, which is doing fantastic. You know, the businesses that make changes, and I'll use the new Coke as an example. Horrible situation, what they did. Maybe it was too early, but when they did it, everyone thought they were crazy. Now, of course, while it looks still bad, the company is as healthy as it's ever been. And now they have got all this Coke Zero and stuff, and everyone's following their lead. It's like the Delta Airlines of the airline business. And when they make that change too early, we think they're crazy. We think they're nuts. Right. But if you'd rather make that change before it's time and fall on your face and still have your brand to fall back on, then make the move too late before everyone leaves your store. So I think that's really interesting. Bill Gates once said, success is a lousy teacher. It seduces smart people into thinking they can't lose. Talk about the failure part, because you do have people come in. You're like, okay, I'm bringing you into my place. Give me a timetable on how long it's going to take to turn this thing around. Is that fair?
Yeah. But I will tell you sometimes that, you know, I look at the new Coke situation and I remember I was a young adult living through that situation. And looking back on it, it does seem, you know, ridiculous. Why would you ever tamper with Coke? But they were under a lot of pressure. Pepsi was gaining market spot and new Coke tasted much closer to Pepsi, had a little bit sweeter taste to it. And, but people just, you know, they undervalued people's loyalty to the brand and to the taste. But in fairness, if people were going to a newer, like a different style or sweeter drink or whatever that was, they would have taken equal criticism if they would have continued to lose market share. And they said, well, why didn't you pivot? You saw what the trends were. Pepsi keeps gaining on you. Why didn't you make the pivot? So you've got companies like that where I'm sure there were people who said, yeah, new Coke is a great idea. And some people were like, we're going to totally regret it. And you don't know until it's lived out what the results are, who's right in those situations. And so these are big gambles. But to credit Coke, once they realized this is a marketing nightmare, our people are clamoring for the old Coke, and then they pivoted back and reclaimed that spot. And like you said, save the company, save the day, and begin. But they learned a valuable lesson. They've never tried that approach again. But I don't know that they would have learned it without making that mistake. But it's so valuable what they learn. And if you're smart, you study other companies and you learn from their mistakes rather than making your own.
Yeah. You know, I kind of went through I did go through the same thing with Classic Rock 99 when I got here in 1988. We were blowing and going for nearly 20 years. Yeah, we had lost some market shares because, you know, when you get super huge, everyone thinks they can flank you and they go, well, let's take 5 or 6 shares away from them. That's enough for us to live off of. And we go from a 20 share to a 14 share. And all of a sudden my boss walks in one day and says, we're changing the name of the radio station to the Buzzard. And I want to say that was in the mid 2000s. And we were all like, why? And it was because, and you've heard this, we were playing not to win. We weren't playing to win. We were playing not to lose. And we felt a flank coming. We felt someone was going to start another classic rock station. We wanted to get ahead of it. It never happened. The problem is once we made that mistake, we didn't go back. We tried to save face. And by then we had lost a couple of GMs. We lost a program director who didn't know the heritage behind our radio station. And it was never the same. It happens in a lot of businesses. Michael Coleman here in the Montgomery Area Food Bank. This is called Mission Minded, a great podcast we do every single week. You can hear it at least 5 times on Tony Curry Radio. So you recently got the Montgomery Area Food Bank within the last year. You were with the Jimmy Hill Mission. You've run businesses all your life, a lot of non-for-profits. So I don't think that you are always the guy that people bring in to fix things. Obviously, you're being brought in to make them more lucrative and more seamless. You've done a wonderful job. Wherever you go, you have success. When you come into a program, we talked a little bit about this when you first got to the Montgomery Food Bank. What's the first thing you do as a CEO going, okay, our numbers are starting to dip a little bit. I've been brought in here to resurrect this program or this business. What's the first thing you look at?
Well, let me So let me back up. I'm going to answer that question, but let me back up just a little bit
yeah.
and just talk about the nonprofit world in particular. The nonprofit world may be worse off than the for-profit world, because if you're screwing things up in the for-profit world, it's going to be very noticeable. You're going to stop getting customers. You're going to stop because mostly businesses are there to continue to make money. Well, when your industry is service related, sometimes you get so focused on service and then you're not building your donor base. And so your dollars aren't coming in. And so you end up trying to explain that away. And it doesn't, and it's such a mistake, but there's so many people running nonprofits that do not have a clue how to run a business. But there's absolutely no difference in from that respect in terms of when you come into a nonprofit, whether I'm a for-profit or a nonprofit, you know, I'm going to come in and I'm going to look at what's your mission statement, who's your market, what are you trying to accomplish, what are the metrics that are in place right now to be able to determine whether you're successful or not? Because again, somebody can say, well, it's our mission to feed food across half the state of Alabama. And I'm like, okay, well, are we good at it? And they go, well, yeah, I think so. And I'm like, well, how do we know? You know, what's the metric that tells us that we can't just, because it feels good to us. And so you really have to get down and you have to, you know, make it very clear to people what the vision is, how we're going to get there, how we're going to move together. And so what I have found is more times than not, it starts with a culture change, with high expectations, but also empowering people to be everything that you need them to be. And I'm telling you, it's such a struggle when you come into a place, but it's so rewarding when you can get people. I was just explaining the other day that the biggest compliment that I can get is if I'm gone for a week and they say, everything was the same. It was as if you were in your office.
Yeah.
And that's when I know that I built it right. Because if the boss is offsite and the culture changes, or people slack off, or people can't make decisions, or people can't move forward, that's where you see this organization become stagnant. People don't want to work there. You're losing sight of what your purpose is, just all those kind of things. And so I recently went on a cruise for a week and came back, and everybody had continued to, it was as if they didn't miss me. And instead of that hurting my feelings, I was thrilled to death because the culture that I've been working on so hard for 10 months has taken hold, that nobody let anything fall by the wayside. They were not afraid to make decisions. They stepped up and said, this is the decision I made. Here's why I made it. And boy, I'm telling you, it's just drastically different than when I first arrived 10 months ago.
That's a wonderful thing. This is not the Andy Griffith Show where Aunt B goes away for a week and she comes back and the whole place is spick and span. She feels like she's not wanted anymore.
That's right.
You're actually a little different there, but you're also a man that's very confident in your position. So that's probably a good thing. I know a lot of bosses that aren't like that, Michael. They want chaos. They feel like if they don't get a couple phone calls during the week while they're out in the Caribbean, that they're not needed and wanted. So, yeah, that's good. Michael Coleman here with Mission Minded. It's a great show. And by the way, we're going to be starting a brand new show here for the Montgomery Area Food Bank here in the next few weeks. We're super excited about that. It's going to be a visual show, which is going to be super exciting. We're going to have to dress up a little bit. I'm looking forward to that as well here. Mission Minded here. All right. So I think it's interesting, too. You talk about normally, well, let me ask you this. And again, I can only speak from my experience, and I'm not saying radios run well, but before we ever got the Theo Epstein of radio, and I really never saw a Theo Epstein of radio, at least in my business. And I'm not pointing fingers, but I guess I am. But before we ever had a Theo Epstein, or who we thought was going to be a Theo Epstein, they brought in the dreaded hatchet man. That was the guy who was going to come in and just cut everything, just slash and gash everything that moved, and then would say, okay, we're back down to the bone. And then he'd get fired, and then they'd bring in the guy to start growing the new flesh. What's your thoughts on doing that? And can you be a hatchet man and a guy who can resurrect a business? Or is that one of the same guy exist?
Well, Well, I will tell you, the hatchet men, even if you're the, so if you're the CEO, like sometimes they hire that out. So before they ever get there, they're like, hey, we got to reduce the workforce by 10%. And when your company's so big that you're just dealing with numbers, you're not dealing with people. So you're going to cut 10%. You're going to cut some good people along with bad people. Sometimes you just have to get to that point, but I don't, you know, most of us are working in for small businesses or nonprofits that, you know, you only want to get rid of people who aren't really bringing anything to bear on that. I will tell you how I handled it. And we have this first year I've been here, we've had about a 40% turnover
Wow.
of people who have either been let go or people who have chosen to take their skill sets to other places. So when I came here, one of the things I expressed to every single employee is, I said, listen, I don't know anything about you. I don't know your history. So I'm not coming in for or against anybody. I want everybody to be here. But to be here means that you're going to make a commitment to serve our community, care for those who are battling hunger and food insecurity, that you're going to be a good team member, that you're going to be coachable, and that you're going to strive to be the best employee you can be. And if you're here and you're doing those things, even if you don't know how to, I will provide you the training, the coaching, give you the tools, resources, everything you need to be successful. The people who are not here are people who came in and chose not to be those things. They chose not to be coachable. They chose not to make the changes they needed. They chose not to be a good team member. They chose not to be here on time. They chose all those kind of things. And so they're not here anymore. And our productivity level has shot through the roof because those that we've brought in to replace them and to grow the company, I've told them all this right up front that, hey, I'm gonna do my best to pay you well and provide a great, healthy work space for you and give you a real mission and give you a real purpose. But hey, I can't give you the want to. I can't give you that desire to come in and actually serve people. So if you bring that though, if you have that, man, you're going to do great things here. But if you're not, this is not going to be a good fit for you. And ultimately, you will have decided to eliminate yourself. I'm not deciding to fire you. You're deciding that you do not want to be a part of this organization moving forward. And so therefore, I make it possible for you to go be successful somewhere
Now,
else.
out of that 40%, what percentage would you say you were okay with them leaving? And what percent were you like, boy, I wish they wouldn't go?
40%.
So still 40%? The 40% of
Boy,
the
I have not lost one
40?
person that I would,
You're saying the
that I
entire
was,
40%.
the entire 40% who left were people that needed to leave.
Wow. That's some crafty
And we
stuff right there,
went,
man.
well, we went. Now that doesn't mean that's always the case,
Yeah.
but I will tell you, those good employees, we came in right away and I said, hey, our employees need to make more money. They're not making enough. They have too much work on them. So we didn't have enough employees. So we've hired more employees. So even though we've lost 40%, we went from 36 employees. We're about 48 right now. And then we're going to 56. That's, and because we feel like 56 employees is what we need to do this, to run a food bank of this size, to adequately serve our community and to do it well. So we're still adding people. But we're bringing them in with a very clear expectation. Hey, we do serious things here. Now we have a good time. We can still cut up. We don't have to be in a stressed out work environment, but we do serious things, and I'm expecting serious attention to our mission. And some people, and so far it's been great. We've lost, out of those that we hired in the past 10 months, we've only lost one of those. It didn't work out. So far we've had a lot of success, been very blessed. But I think if you just make it very clear as to what you're looking for in an employee, and then you tend to get more often than not. I know hiring people is a real crapshoot, but more often than not, you get what you're close to, at least close to what you're looking for.
There you go. He's Michael Coleman. We're out of time. Another great topic coming up next week here on Mission Minded. Of course, you can hear the show on the TKR app 24 hours a day. We're at least 5 times a week, like all of our shows, and also on the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network. Hey, happy Easter to you. I love you, brother, and can't wait to talk to you next week.
Right back at you. And thank you again, everybody, for taking the time to listen. Reach out. Send Tony a question if there's something we can address, if we can help you. And hope everybody has a blessed Easter.
Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Thanks, Michael.
Take care, brother.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.